Hey, hope everyone's having a great weekend. I'm Tony Bruschi from the Hidden Killers podcast. This is our week in review, a look back at some of the most compelling moments in audio that we've experienced this past week. Brand new episodes start back up again Monday morning right here. Enjoy.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are still talking with Bob Mata, criminal defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries. You can check it out at defensediaries.com. Absolutely awesome podcast. Bob, when we're talking about Lori Daybell, and we were just talking about how much she still believes of these things, if you look at her when she's sitting there, it's very much a look of, I know something you don't know, and the world's going to end at some point, and I'm going to be the Queen of Rexburg. Something of that nature. What are you getting out of it when you see the images and the smirks and all that of Lori Vallow Daybell?
When you look at it, what, because Allison always, like my wife, who's also a criminal defense attorney, always makes the point. She's like, well, don't you find it convenient that all the people that ended up dying happen to be Lori's people aside from Tammy? And I said, but yeah, but that was like her inner circle, and those were the non-believers. Mm-hmm. Like everyone that wasn't buying into what they were selling was a demon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone, it was like her, one of like Lori's brothers, demon, her father, demon. Like they were all eventually going to die, not because of any reason of money, sex, and power, but because they believed that they had to rid the earth of these demons, that they had to do this work for God by ridding these demons off the earth in order to secure their places being one of the exalted.
Yeah.
So, man, yeah, dude, I don't know, man. It's like this thing, I'm like thinking about it all the time.
I am too. I'm just like, my mind is trying to wrap around and understand it. What have you been surprised at all by the testimony from Melanie Gibb or Zulema or anyone on just how much they bought into this line of thinking and truly believed it as well?
No, I mean, because like I'm 53, man. I've been watching people buy religious philosophies of all types for my entire life, wondering, man, like, you know, and again, like I'm not trying to besmirch anybody's faith. I'm allowed to have my own thoughts on the matter.
Sure.
You know, and like I see people, I know people that buy in, maybe not this extreme. You know, but that buy into concepts that have been sucked into a cult where they are just completely brainwashed and indoctrinated, and they have absolutely no doubt that what they're hearing is gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, so like Melly Gibb was like the one who kind of like snapped out of it when she realized that what was going on with Ty Lee and JJ. Like yeah. she finally was like, oh. Whoa. You know, it's like, cause even when you're listening to Zulema's testimony, like they really had to pull it out of her.
Yeah.
At some point that she did, like, she doesn't sit on the stand right there still believing it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that there's a part of her that still believes it, you know? And like, so, yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't surprise me is my short answer. It does not surprise me. I don't like, I think the people that are prone to kind of fall into this situation, you know, are searching for something, you know, they're missing something in their life. And, you know, this thing is filling that gap. This is giving they're like searching for an answer. Like they're not satisfied with like the unknown.
Yeah.
They don't like that. That scares them. They like having an end game, and this is the end game to them that makes the most sense. So I think they buy it, man. Like completely, like not kind of. I think they're all in on it, you know? I mean, because there's no other rational explanation. You know what I mean? Like when you hear the things that they were told and that they were taught, and, you know, if the first thing in their mind isn't like, wait a second, what? Mm-hmm. You know, like if they're instead like, oh, now it all makes sense. You know, then you know you've got somebody in terms of like a leader of a sect like this, then you know you've got a true believer. And that's who they wanted to serve. That's who they had to surround themselves with.
And it makes me wonder how many people out there who are watching this or listening to the testimony are, and again, I'm not knocking any religion either. Right. Everyone's entitled to it, but that are going, oh, I can see that. Maybe not necessarily to the extreme, like, let's go kill your kids, they're zombies, but more so like, oh, I had this conversation with Jesus, or I had this or that. And some of the testimony, it's like, well, that kind of sounds like a lot of, you know, different type of religious beliefs that most hold tenets to. But then they dip into the very extreme as well. But I'm almost wondering how many people are almost relating to some of the things.
The bigger question, Tony, is like, how many people on that jury
exactly.
are LDS, dude? Yes. Like I don't know. Because look, at the base of this thing, it's still the Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. Like yeah. that is the basis of this subsect. They just took it to another level and added these extreme notions and extreme tenets about the demons, you know, the dark and light scale, and, you know, basically having to kill people. Like to,
yeah.
you know, because it's like the interesting thing about the castings is, you know, those in and of themselves weren't like sacrifices. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? They were like chanting, and, you know, it was like kind of a theatrical type of thing where prayers would be read, and it was like, you know, kind of what I imagine what like an exorcism would look like, sure. right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's closer to that. So like when they're doing these castings and then they get word from on high from either Lori or Chad that, well, it didn't work. You know, good old Ned, Ned survived that one. So you got to go back and do it again. You know, like as these people are hearing it, you know, they're not asking those questions like, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
So can you just tell me, me as an inquisitive guy would be asking, you know, all kinds of questions that would really, really irritate them, you know, and then maybe they have some kind of answer or maybe they don't. But, you know, I'm asking, well, you know, Chad, how did you know that Charles was a demon? Mm-hmm. Was it as simple as that he wasn't buying what you were selling, so therefore he becomes a demon, or because he was upset that Lori abandoned him and his kid for 58 days, that made him a demon? Like, what is it? Because he changed the beneficiary on the life insurance? Did that make him a demon? You know what I mean? It's like none of these folks ask those questions, but the question then becomes, did they feel that it was their place
sure.
to question the people that they sought, or, you know, they saw as the leaders?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's kind of that same thing. Like if you're Catholic or any of the religions that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if he were to come down and you were to ask them, would they start grilling him, you know, about the questions they have about, you know, did you really make, you know, water into wine?
And,
you know, did you really split, you know, it's like, they're not going to do that. You know what I mean? Because that's somebody that that would be seen as blasphemous,
sure.
you know? So it's like, maybe those questions where logic would dictate that you would be asking those questions, maybe the fact that they're so indoctrinated, like, stops them from asking questions that they may have. And then maybe through the teachings, they get some things that reinforce. Because, like, look, if you're leading a cult, you have to realize that people may question the faith at some point, right? Mm-hmm. So you're building in, like, allegories that are going to suffice the people that are listening to what you're saying, like anticipating what those questions might be. You know what I mean? So when they're creating, when Chad's writing his books, he's anticipating those questions and trying to get in front of them by answering. You know what I mean? It's the whole thing is
sure.
absolutely fascinating, man.
There one more thing I want to add in here before we wrap it up. The question I have is, where did they come up with the names like Ned Schneider and things? Like, if you're going to pick demon names, Ned right. Schneider's your demon name? I mean, really?
Ned. Good old Ned. I was like, every time I think of Ned, I think of Ned Flanders.
Yes.
So like immediately, like the vision of the demon Ned is literally Ned Flanders from The Simpsons in my mind.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, man, he was taken over by Ned Flanders. Like, he's such a sweet guy. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. Yeah, like else, I had the same comment. I mean, they got like a little better with the third demon name. Like,
yeah.
The first two were very generic white dude sounding names.
Yes, they were.
And then the third one sounded a bit more demonic. So
yeah,
I don't know where they came up with them. That would be one of the questions if I was like had the ability as a prosecutor to question Lori where they came up with the demon names. I would have just done it, not because it was relevant to the case, just because I want to know.
Exactly. Like, how did you do this?
Right. Why did you come up with a better demon name than Ned?
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
It really is like something straight out of a horror movie, without a doubt. Bob Mata, thank you for joining us. Criminal defense attorney. He hosts Defense Diaries podcast. You can go to defensediaries.com and find that super, super interesting one. Highly recommended by all of us here at Hidden Killers. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.